David when he was flinging stones on the backside of the desert, hitting twigs and trees. What he didn't know was God was preparing him for his Goliath. And when Goliath came to attack him, he took a stone out of his shepherd's bag and let it fling. Knocked that guy right in his forehead, the Bible says, and sank into his forehead. And the giant said, "Whoa, nothing like this has ever entered my mind before." And yeah, whoo, dust, poof.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Yesterday we began the story of David and Goliath and how David put five smooth stones in his shepherd's bag. We learned about the stone of the past, the stone of preparation. Well, today we'll learn about perspective, passion, persistence, stones we need to include in our bag. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Meeting Your Goliath.
You don't train for the beginning of the race. You got to prepare for that moment in the race when you're ready to quit. Think about how many times you have come to church, how many hours you spent listening to sermons. You know what all of that preparation is for? Not for your walk in Christ. It is for that moment in your walk in Christ when you want to quit. It's for that moment. It's not for the easy times. It's for that moment when you want to quit on your marriage, when you want to quit on Jesus Christ, when you want to drop out of your faith, when you want to say to the church, "Forget it, that's the way it is, I'm out of here." That's what that's for, that moment. Where do you get all of that preparation? And if we shortcut that, when you're ready to quit, you have no recourse. You're vulnerable and susceptible to the evil one, the adversary of your soul that wants to take you down, and he plays for keeps. Smooth stone of preparation. David put that in his shepherd's bag because he knew he's going to need that. Let me tell you the third stone. Third stone is a stone of perspective. Stone of perspective. What's that? The Israeli army was in a critical shape when the Philistines surrounded them and this great giant came forth called Goliath. And when he began taunting the armies, let's read what David said to him. Would you read it? Go. "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Were they really the armies of the living God? Let's see what they were doing at this time. Read the next one. Go. "When the Israelites saw that their situation was critical and that their army was hard pressed, they hid in caves and thickets among the rocks and in pits and in cisterns." They were diving behind clumps of grass. They were digging under caves. They were hiding behind trees. Did they look like the armies of the living God? No, they look like chickens. They're a bunch of chickens. And that's exactly what the Philistine said. "You bunch of cowards." That's what the Philistine, that's what the enemy will say. But what did David say? "How dare you taunt the armies of the living God?" They didn't, you know, if you were armies of the living God, they'd look like this, you know. But they weren't. They were, they were running all over the place. But listen, David had to make a choice. Either I'm going to see the situation from the enemy's vantage point or God's vantage point. You choose. See the stone of perspective? You'll have to take a look at your life, your finances, your marriage, whatever it might be, your job situation, your faith, your church. You're going to have to say, am I going to look at it the way the enemies are looking at it or the way God is going to look at it? You need that stone of perspective smoothed out if you're going to bring down the Goliaths that you meet. Every single one of us will need to make that choice. You see, what you are will determine where you will stand. And where you stand will determine what you will see. And what you see will determine who you become. That's why we find in Matthew 6:22, it says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is clear, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is dark, Your whole body will be filled with darkness. And if that light that is in you is darkness, how great shall that darkness be? Now, when he said the lamp of your body is your eye, he wasn't talking about your eyeball. He was talking about your perspective on life. How do you perceive things? If it's clear, your whole body will be rewarded. If it's dark, your whole body will suffer the consequences. Because how you see things will shape who you'll become. You see, if you see every inconvenience in your life as bad, then you will never see growth. Because it's often out of inconvenience when you have to practice patience instead of impulsiveness or impetuousness. It's when you got to practice overlooking someone else's faults that growth results. But if all you see an inconvenience is bad, you will never see growth. Or if every painful event you see is wrong, that's painful, so that's wrong, then you will never see new birth. Because birth comes out of pain a lot of times. But if you always see pain as wrong, that's why there's never going to be new growth in your life. You are what you are, and you're going to stay that way. And if every problem you see as something to be avoided, then you'll never see miracles. Because every problem is the beginning of a miracle. For every miracle started with a problem. And if you see every mistake as failure, then you will never experience success. Because often success comes right next to failure. If you see failure correctly, you move into success. If you see it poorly, you move into failure. If you see it wrong, if all you see a mistake is failure, something that your kids do, mistake, failure, something that someone does, that was a mistake, failure. And you'll never see success because you're seeing things wrong. But if in every problem you can see opportunity, then you'll always find solutions. If you can see in every mistake there's a lesson, you will always see miracles. And if in every hurt you can see the cross, you will always find victory. It's how you see things. It's a stone of perspective, and it needs to become a smooth stone because you got to work it out. Let me give you a very important stone. It's the fourth stone. It's a stone of passion. Oh, I love this story of the passion of a young shepherd boy about to be king. I love this story. Look at the passion. You know, if you're going to serve God, you're going to have a little bit of spit about you. Because you see, there's going to be times you're going to need to get mad at the devil. That's why James says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The devil will not flee from you if you don't resist him. And sometimes we think we got to be nice Christians so we don't resist anything. No. You need to know when you need to be a warrior and say, enough, and resist. For example, many of you know that there's an activist trying to get us kicked out of the school and trying to get prices raised and look at every nuance of the law and interpret it in such a way that goes to our negative. And so we've been working with the Department of Education, finding that the five-year limitation is not an ordinance of the state or the school system. And so we got that banished, so we're good on that. And now we're trying to bring the price down. And the reason, you know, we could just say, forget it then. We'll just go and do something else. We're out of here. We'll leave the school. We'll just let them just be embroiled in their own poverty. But if we drop out, it'll affect the other 123 churches that are using schools. Because, see, we're the target. We're the big boy. We're the one that is the focus of this man. And if he gets us down, then everybody else is going to go down. It's like, now, if we can get New Hope gone, everything else is like shooting fish in a barrel. But if we win, we give benefit to all the other 123 churches. And so as we were talking about that, it says, you know, God may have us move one day, get our own place, and we're looking around right now for some. But I said, you know what? Until we win, we can't leave, because we got to resist the devil and we got to win this Goliath. So we're going to stay. We're going to win. We got to win. For us, no. For the other churches that are much smaller, maybe using schools, because if we capitulate, then that's it. So we have to understand that we've got to be people of passion. Let's read this wonderful story. Read it with me. Go. David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. And David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Man, I love to tell that story. Oh, I love it. David, when he was flinging stones on the backside of the desert, hitting twigs and trees, just kind of killing time, maybe sometime a little upset about his lot in life, adding some velocity to it. What he didn't know was God was preparing him for his Goliath. And when Goliath came to attack him, he took a stone out of his shepherd's bag and let it fling. Knocked that guy right in his forehead, the Bible says, and sank into his forehead. And the giant said, "Whoa, nothing like this has ever entered my mind before." And yeah, whoo, dust, poof. David ran up there, took out a sword, cut off his head, and said, "It's time for me to get ahead." I worked hard on those two lines. I hope you enjoyed them. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. The stone of passion. See, David was a scrawny kid. No one would bet on him. Nobody. We'd bet on that kid. You got a giant here. You got the army of Israel here. You got a scrawny kid in the middle. Who's going to bet on David? Who's going to put money on that kid from Bethlehem? Not the Philistines, not the Hebrews, not even David's siblings. But one person did. God. God bet everything on that young man because he had passion to overcome the Goliath he just met. And when God put all he had on that young man, that skinny little runt, was a blur of knobby knees and slinging rocks. And he ran, and history has been changed because of a young man who had a passion for the honor of God and said, "I'm not going to give up." I want to encourage you to add passion to what you know God is calling you to do and what he's calling you to be. Don't just say, "Well, if it happens, it happens. Que sera, sera." No, God is saying, "I need men and women who have passion, because I'll put all my money on that one." "Yeah, but I don't have much." Doesn't matter. I'll put my money on you. When God puts his money on you, you'll do fine. Passion. And there's one more rock. Before I tell you what that next rock is, here's what I think David would say. David would say, "All I need is one more solution, then I have problems, and I'll move forward. All I need is just one more solution, then I have problems. All I need is to get up one more time, then I fall down, and I'll move forward." That's passion, see? He had four stones, and he had one more. Here it is. It's a stone of persistence. Stone of persistence. He had five stones, smooth in his shepherd's bag. Let's read what it says here under number five. go. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistine. Now, why do you think he had five stones? Some people say, well, maybe because he had four other relatives. Let me read them to you. This is out of 2 Samuel. One of his sons, his name was Ishbi-Benob. Sounds like one of those Appalachian guys, you know, without two. There's my brother Ishbi-Benob, who was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels. And then a second, 2 Samuel 21:18 says, Saph made the list. He was described as another son of the giant. Two sons. There was another, the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, so their uncle. His spear was like a weaver's beam, so it was like his spear was like a telephone pole. And then another son, this kid was big. I call him King Kong Benob. Listen to this. He had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot, 24 in number. He was born to the giant. I thought, that's a bunch of ugly right there. That is a bunch of ugly. They were all the size Tyrannosaurus Rex, four of them. And I bet David was thinking, I'm going to use one on this guy, and if his four relatives come over, I'm going to have four more. I'm going to empty my chamber on those. Persistence. You see, in dealing with your past, maybe one prayer is not enough. You've got to stay persistent until you win. It's not until you try, it's until you win. Maybe one apology isn't enough. Maybe one time a week is not enough to grow in the faith if you read the Bible. You've got to have a stone of persistence, and that is a very important stone. That you've brought your marriage to a sort of modicum of health, but it's not where you know it should be. Persistence, the stone of persistence, it has to be smooth. You need all five stones in your bag. You know why? Because when you face your giant, you grab a stone, you don't know what stone that is. But it may be a stone of persistence that you need today. Tomorrow, it may be a stone of passion that you need. The next day or next week, it might be the stone of preparation. You don't know what you're going to grab. You better have all five of them in there. Because if you don't, the one that you need is going to be absent when you face that moment in your race with Goliath. Stone of persistence. I remember 3 years ago when I prayed and I felt the Lord say, I want you to take some time and turn that college around. They had 56 students in the college called Eugene Bible College, which actually is my alma mater, and we changed it to New Hope Christian College. 56 students in the whole student body. It was going towards bankruptcy. When I went up there, it was $110,000 in debt going that way every month. So the first $110,000 I raised, it just kept us afloat. But we were $3.8 million in debt already. So I had to go up and raise $3.8 million. I thought, I can't. This is crazy. And then you try to do your best, and you have all these people yakking at you. Look at all the things he's changing. He's just coming up here and changing everything. He's just coming up and changing stuff for the sake of change. Because actually, people really don't care about the overall health of something. They're just concerned about what happens in their cubicle. Am I going to get paid this month? Well, you ain't going to get squat if you keep grumbling at me, I wanted to say. Because I'm trying my best. And you know, sometimes you're trying your best and people still mock at you. And it's like, I went home night after night thinking, I'm done. This is so stupid. Why did I ever sign up for this stupid thing? I remember praying one night saying, God, if there's any way, would you please remove this assignment from me? And God said, nope, you keep going. And so I kept going and on. This year, I want you to see the picture of just the freshman class coming in. Just first-time students. The freshman class is far bigger than the whole student body was 4 years ago. And all of these students, plus more, this isn't the whole student body, this is just a freshman, the whole school. There's so many students now. These are all studying full time for ministry. And some of these are from our church. And I look at that and I think, you know, persistence. The stone of persistence is so incredibly important, because the Bible says in Hebrews 10:36, "For ye have need of endurance, for after you have done the will of God, you will receive what was promised." I can't think of a better investment than the lives of those young men and women who may just go out and change the history of Christianity. Persistence. God has something in store for you. Stay persistent. Five stones. Stone of the past. Smooth it out. And how you reconcile your past will be how you will shape your future. And then the stone of preparation. In the midst of the mundane, God is making a king. And everything that he needed for a king was inputted into him in the backside of a desert. Stone of perspective. You get to choose how you're going to see things, from the enemy's perspective or God's. It's your call. Smooth that stone out and put it in your bag. And the stone of passion. Some of you need God to renew your passion for what he's called you to do. You didn't lose your calling. You lost your passion for your calling. You need that stone, because that may be the very stone that God will want you to use to slay a Goliath. And then the stone of persistence. You keep going till you win. Not until you just get tired and say enough is enough. You keep going till you win. If God's called you to do it, you will win. Five stones, smooth in your pouch. And when you have those, and when you meet your Goliath, you'll always come out victorious. Amen. We're going to conclude with communion. So could the ushers come forward? Now, the reason we're going to take communion at the end is because I want us to end at the cross. It is there that Jesus shed his blood to overcome the Goliath of sin. It is there that his body was pierced and broken so that the penalty of sin would be on him and not on us. And the power to overcome by his blood would be given to us when you meet your Goliath. And so we want to end at the cross. We're going to give the bread and the cup, and if you would just hold it. And as a song is being sung, would you let the Lord speak to you about a stone that you need to smooth out? A stone that may be missing from your pouch that you need to work on, maybe even discover, collect, go after, go get. Some of you may need to smooth your stone. Some of you may need to go find one and get it in there. But whatever it might be, would you let the Lord speak to you? Some of you, God is saying, I want to restore your passion for what I've called you to do. Someone else, God might say, I want to give you the stone of persistence or preparation or perspective. Or maybe you need to smooth the stone of your past, reconcile. Make peace with it so you can move forward, because it's misshaping your future. Smooth it, because you're going to meet a Goliath. You're going to need all five. Would you let God speak to you at this time as you hold the cup and the bread? Jesus, thank you so much for helping us to be people who are more than overcomers through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Meeting Your Goliath by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Now, for Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana of New Hope Christian Fellowship, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.